الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the previous classes we discussed affairs related to the khabar and the hadith, and in our previous class we're discussing the issues with regards to al-isnad, wal-sanad, wal-matan, and we have seen some benefits with regards to that. We'll continue reading from where we had left off. The author, he mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى المرفوع وأنواعه المرفوع وأنواعه المرفوع, and in the elevated report, meaning the one that's ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, المرفوع وأنواعه, the narration that is ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the different types of that, and the different types of that. So the author, he says, حفظه الله تعالى عرف المرفوع واذكر أنواعه مع تمثيل لكل منها واذكر شيئا من السياق التي لها حكم الرفع. Define المرفوع, the مرفوع narration. Mention its types with examples for each, and list some of the expressions that carry the ruling of being مرفوع. Some of the expressions in the statements of the narrators that have the ruling of being marfu'. So the Shaykh, he mentioned the answer. Al-marfu'u ma udifa ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tasrihan aw hukman min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqrir. Min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqrir. That al-marfu' is that which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either explicitly or implicitly, whether as a statement, action, or proof. Likewise, we've seen the complete definition includes as well أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية, and likewise a description, whether that is a physical description or description of the manners and etiquettes. All of this is considered مرفوع. But now he's moving on to another point, and that is that the مرفوع is two types: المرفوع الصريح والمرفوع حكما والمرفوع الحكمي. المرفوع الصريح والمرفوع الحكمي. So there is the مرفوع that is explicit, it's clearly ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and there's another aspect of narration that's considered مرفوع, it's not clearly ascribed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Initially it's حديث موقوف. Initially it's حديث موقوف. But upon examining the narration and pondering over this particular hadith, we find that it takes the ruling of being marfu'. We find that it takes the ruling of being marfu'. We understand? So this is the topic now. We're discussing the marfu'. What is the marfu' from the class this morning? Al-hadith al-khabar. Ma huwa? Ma udhifa ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqririn aw wasfin khilqi aw khuluqi. Aw wasfin khilqi aw khuluqi. It is that which is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from statement, action, and affirmation or approval, likewise a description, either physical or about his manners sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any of these affairs are ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهُوَ الْمَرْفُوعُ فَهُوَ الْمَرْفُوعُ. This is the hadith al-marfu'. You understand? Now this marfu' that we're discussing, it comes in two manners. يَتِي صَرِيحًا وَيَتِي حُكْمًا. Sarihan meaning directly, and hukman meaning it's not directly ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yet it's understood from the issue when we examine it that it can only come from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore it takes the ruling as if it is marfu'. It takes the ruling as if it is marfu'. So we say here al marfu' al hukmi, al marfu' al sarih, this is clear, right? المرفوع الحكمي. What is this one? ما كان له حكم المرفوع الصريح من حيث العلم والعمل وإن لم تكون الإضافة صريحة وإن لم تكون الإضافة صريحة. That المرفوع الحكمي, it is a narration that carries the ruling of المرفوع, the explicit of المرفوع الصريح, the explicitly attributed report in terms of knowledge and practice. In terms of knowledge and practice, meaning it's a narration that takes the ruling of being marfu'. And what understanding? Then, if it's affirming affairs of the unseen or knowledge of the future or past events or other issues with regards to creed and the likes like this, it's established. It's established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it's indicating an action or deed, an obligation or a prohibition, or some virtuous deeds to perform and the likes like this, or some adhkar, so on and so forth, all of this is affirmed. All of this is affirmed, just as it's affirmed the knowledge that we believe in that has come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the deeds that he has called to, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in that. Whenever it reaches us from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in hadith and marfu', likewise the same ruling is established from al marfu' al-hukmi. Even if the actual wording of the text is not directly ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody's with me, inshallah, with examples. It's going to become clear. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he says, حفظه الله وأنواعه ستة لأن كل من القول والفعل والتقرير يكون رفعه تصريحا أو حكما. And the types of this marfu', the types of the marfu', there are six. That is because the statement and the action and the approval will be either صريح or حكم. يكون صريحا أو حكما. So there's the hadith that's clearly directed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to statement. Another one with regards to action. Another one with regards to approval. How many is that? Three. Likewise, with regards to al-hukmi, the one that's implicitly ascribed, and it's understood, but not directly ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be with regards to a statement, or an action, or an approval. So therefore, the types of the marfu' here are six. Everybody's with me? Alhamdulillah. So now we move on to the examples. He says, حفظه الله فمثال المرفوع من القول تسريحا أن يقول الصحابي سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كذا أو يقول هو أو غيره قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا. So we begin keeping our mind. What is the topic? Our topic is the marfu, right? The marfu breaks down into two types. صريحا وحكمًا. الصريح والحكمي. You understand? And each one of them can be with regards to statement, action, or approval. Statement, action, or approval. We're going to start with the صريح and the statement, and then we'll do the action and the approval in this manner, so that we all follow along. الحكم على الشيء فرع عن تصوره. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, الحكم على الشيء فرع عن تصوره. To judge something. To make a judgment on something and to understand it and comprehend it properly is based upon or stemming from picturing it correctly. So if you picture the issue, if you can picture the issue correctly, this inshallah is the pathway to understanding properly and making the correct judgment and making the great judgment. But if somebody presents an issue and then the person does not see the issue as it really is, not able to visualize that issue properly, then he will not be able to make a correct judgment. He'll become confused or he'll be wrong in his judgment. So this is very important to picture the knowledge, to visualize the knowledge in this manner, to accustom yourself to doing this. So it says, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ فَمِثَالُ الْمَرْفُوعِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ تَسْرِيحًا. The example of the marfu' by statement explicitly, that a companion, he will say, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say such and such. It's clear. The companion, said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say such and such. Or the companion or someone else will say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said such and such. You see the difference between the two? The companion, he will say, I heard, because it's the companions, they're the ones who heard. تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ. So if a companion says he heard, this is a direct marfu', a direct description to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this. Or if a companion or somebody else, they said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this. This is called marfu', because it's described to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What aspect of marfu' is it? At-tasrih, as-sarih. He's saying it directly. The Prophet said this. So if a companion said that, or anyone else likewise said that, that text is being ascribed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. Well, this is the issue here. وَمِنَ الْأَمْثِلَةِ The Sheikh, he didn't mention, he just mentioned any general examples to picture. I bring some examples from the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah it's clear. From that, the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, annahu qala ala al-minbar, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Al-hadith muttafaqun alayhi. The hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, he's on the minbar. And he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed the deeds are but by way of the intentions, and every individual will have what he had intended until the end of the narration. It's collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith is marfu', and the type of marfu' is as-sari. It's direct, because Umar, he said, radiallahu anhu, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. So any narration that's like this, where there's a companion, he said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this, this is considered al-marfu', as-sarih min al-qawl, al-qawli, al-qawli, yani from statement. Also, for example, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, annaha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha, annaha qalat, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. متفق عليه. And likewise, the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها, whenever she said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever introduces into this religion of ours that which is not from it, it will be rejected. So here's an example of both aspects. Even if somebody after the companions, like a tabi'i, for example, he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That's called marfu', and it's sari. That text is being ascribed directly to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand this? This is called al-marfu' as-sari. Al-marfu' as-sari. So these are some examples of that. So after this, the Shaykh, he says, وَمِثَال الْمَرْفُوعَ مِنَ الْفِعْلِ تَسْرِيحًا وَمِثَال الْمَرْفُوعَ من الفعل تسريحا. And the example of the marfu', explicitly, the explicit marfu', the one that's ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly from action, from actions. And يقول الصحابي رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل كذا. أو يقول هو أو غيره كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل كذا. يفعل كذا. So the marfu', الصريح, الفعلي, this is whenever a companion, he would say, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do such and such. If a companion says, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do such and such, and this is considered marfu', sarihan, min al-fi'l, because it's an action that's ascribed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or he or someone else, any of the companion, or someone else says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this, or used to do that, or he did this, or he did that. So now it's directly ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand? From the examples of this, is that which is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the Hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu أنهما that he said كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم يوم عاشوراء ويأمر بصيامه. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to fast on the day of Ashura, and he ordered others to fast. You understand? So this is حديث marfu'. It's marfu' because it's an action that's ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an action that's mudaf ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma udhifa ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min qawlin aw fi'l. Here we have a fi'l. Aw taqrir, aw sifa, khuluqiyya aw khirqiyya. So here we have the fi'l. What's the fi'l? Fasting, the day of Ashura. The Prophet, he did that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he ordered others to do that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, this sunnah is established in two manners. From the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from his statement. He performed it and encouraged it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a strong established sunnah. Not only did he order others to do it, he did it himself. He fasted on the day of Ashura, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his action is that he did that. And also he ordered others to do it. So this sunnah is established verbally and also in application. You understand this? Alhamdulillah. Another example is also a narration connected by Bukhari and Muslim, which is the hadith of Uthman. And it's very famous, hadith Uthman, radiallahu anhu, fil wudu. So the Uthman, his freed slave, Humran, who is a tabi'i, he narrates the narration. He says, and Humran, Mawla Uthman ibn Affan, annahu ra'a Uthmana, da'a bi wudu. Pay attention to this narration. We're going to practice some knowledge that has preceded. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. An Humran, Mawla Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. Annahu ra'a Uthmana, da'a bi wudu. It's been reported from Humran, the freed slave of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, that he said, who said? Humran, the tabi'i. He said he saw Uthman call for water for ablution. Humran saw Uthman call for water for ablution. Da'a bi wadu. فَأَفْرَغَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ مِنْ إِنَائِهِ فَغَسَلَهُمَا ثَلَاثًا مَرَاتٍ ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَ يَمِينَهُ فِي الْوَضُو ثُمَّ تَمَضَّغَ وَاسْتَنْشَقَ وَاسْتَنْثَرَ ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثًا وَيَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ ثَلَاثًا ثُمَّ مَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ ثُمَّ غَسَلَ كُلَّ رِجْلٍ ثَلَاثًا. So Humran, he says that he saw Uthman call for water for ablution. Then he poured water over his hands from the vessel and washed him three times. Then he inserted his right hand into the water, rinsed his mouth and held water into his nose and expelled it. He did that three times. Then he washed his face three times and his hands up to his elbows three times. Then he wiped his head and then washed each of his feet three times. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then Uthman, he said, رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَوَضَّعُ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا. رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَوَضَّعُ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا. Then Uthman, he said, after performing the ablution physically, he says, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم perform the ablution like this of mine. I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform the ablution exactly like this one I'm performing for you. You understand? وَقَالَ مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا ثُمَّ صَلَّ رَكَعَتَيْنِ لَا يُحَدِّثُ فِيهِمَا نَفْسَهُ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And then after that, Uthman, he said, radiallahu anhu, and then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, after performing this wudu, whoever performs ablution like this of mine, then prays two rak'ah, in which he does not let his soul become distracted, Allah will forgive him for all of his previous sins. Allah will forgive him for all of his previous sins. So the narration initially begins from Humran. Who is that? Is a tabi'i. Who is a tabi'i? He's saying that he saw Uthman. Uthman. So the action is the action of Uthman. So this action here that Humran is watching initially is mawquf, right? But then in the end, Uthman clarifies that these actions, this wudu, he saw it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not, it's marfu. It's marfu. You understand? It's marfu. And then after that, he even emphasized more. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so we have a tasrih bil qawl wal fi'l. He's mentioning directly his action on the manner of performing the wudu. He saw him perform it like this. And then to emphasize that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the believers that whoever makes wudu just like that one, and then he prays to rak'ah, and he doesn't become distracted and talk to himself in his prayer and lose his concentration, then Allah will forgive all of the sins that have preceded. So the point is now that this is clearly ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his action. That's the point. But also the narration consists of a statement as well. So both of them are marfu'. What type of marfu'? As-sari. This is clear? Alhamdulillah. This is also letting us know the status of the companions. He saw the Prophet Muhammad make wudu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged to make wudu like that and that way. And then he learned and made wudu like that and he taught those after him. So that's why anybody who makes wudu that's not like the wudu of Uthman and the other narrators from the Sahaba who have narrated the wudu, then their wudu is not good. Their wudu is not good. The good wudu is the one that is narrated to us by chain of narration from the Sahaba, authentically. There's a number of narrators who have narrated the wudu. This is one of the most famous narrations and most complete narrations. There are several others that when you gather him, the entire wudu becomes clear, even more clear than this one. But this is from the most complete of the descriptions that have come and the narrations, although there are others. So this is an amazing affair. So this is also from a benefit I heard from our Sheikh, who we mentioned sometimes, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. He would say that the Sahaba, they have the eyes that saw the eyes of the Prophet. You understand that? They have the eyes that saw the eyes of the Prophet, and they believed in him and followed him. He watched the Prophet make wudu. He learned wudu from the Prophet Muhammad. He learned the deen, the creed, the actions from the Prophet Muhammad. And that's why we say about them, nothing but good. Radiallahu anhum. Radiallahu anhum. And we love them. And we love them, all of them. And respect them and honor them. Radiallahu anhum. Radiallahu anhum. After this, the author, he moves on. وَمِثَالُ الْمَرْفُوعِ مِنَ التَّقْرِيرِ تَصْرِيح. In the example of the marfu' of an explicit approval. An explicit approval. Any meaning an affirmation of something explicitly. He says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ الصَّحَابِي فَعَلْتُ بحضرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا أو يقول هو أو غيره فعل فلان بحضرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا ولا يذكر إنكاره لذلك. The example here is that a companion, he will say, I did such and such in the presence of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or he or someone else, meaning or a companion or someone else after him will say, so-and-so did such and such in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not reject it. And he did not reject it. You understand? We're able to picture the taqreer. The taqreer is the approval that the Prophet, he would affirm someone sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and approve of their action or statement. Approve of their action or statement. Not directly, verbally. He would not say that he approves of it, but it would occur in his presence or with something that he's informed of. And he will not deny it or forbid it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will not reprimand the one who said it or did it. This is called a taqreer. ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير. That's where we're at now. التقرير الصري. التقرير الصري. He mentioned this affair here. We bring some examples to help clarify. Some examples from the narrations. It has been reported authentically in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utiya nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bilahmi dhabba. Bilahmi dhabba. You know the dhabba? The dhabba. What's that? The lizard, the desert lizard. Huh? The desert lizard. It's come in the narrations. Huh? And so the dhabb is the desert lizard. Is a desert lizard. This desert lizard was brought to the table of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't eat it. He didn't eat it. He didn't eat it. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he sat down and he ate it. He sat down and he ate it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not forbid him. He did not forbid him. So he affirmed him of eating the meat of the desert lizard. So therefore, eating the meat of the desert lizard is lawful. Had it not been lawful, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have forbade him. You understand that? The Prophet, he clarified what he did, and he said, This is not from the food of my people. This is not from the food of my people. This is not something that I'm accustomed to. He said, he doesn't desire this type of food. So he didn't eat it. But he didn't forbid it or declare it to be impermissible. You understand? Rather, Khalid, he sat down and ate it, radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of that. How did he approve of that? By letting him do that and not reprimanding him or stopping him or forbidding him from that. So this is an example of that affair. This is an example of that affair. It's clear. It's a clear approval from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example, which is narrated by Abu Dawud. It's authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, أنه احتلم في ليلة باردة. فتيمم وصلى بأصحابه فلما ذكر ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا عمر صليت بأصحابك وأنت جنوب. It's been reported from Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu that his companions are on a journey and he woke up in the state of janaba in a very cold night. He woke up in the state of janaba in a very cold night and they didn't have anything to warm the water, so he made tayammum. And whenever it reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he did that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, Ya Amr, you led your brothers in prayer while you're in the state of janaba. You led your brothers in prayer in the state of janaba, and meaning you had janab, you woke up with janaba, and you had water and didn't use it, and you made tayammum instead, and then led them in prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this came to him, so he asked about that. فَقَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So I remember the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal whenever he says, do not kill yourselves. فَتَيَمَّمْتُ. So therefore I made tayammum. And he meaning, because if he made ghusl in that cold, cold weather, it could harm him. It could harm him in the life like this. So he thought about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. He made a shihad in this affair. And he did what he thought was right based upon the knowledge that he has and the understanding of the principles of the religion that he's upon. So he said, I made tayammum. فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَلَمْ يَقُولْ شَيْئًا. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he laughed about that and he didn't say anything. Therefore, that is an approval of his action. That's an approval of his action. This is clear? That's an approval from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his action. So these are the first three. What were they? Al-marfu' al-sarih qawlan fi'lan wa taqriran. Qawlan wa fi'lan wa taqriran. We understand it? It's clear? It's easy. Alhamdulillah. Now, these principles, they're solid and they're sound. They're solid and they're sound, alhamdulillah. وَمِثَالُ الْمَرْفُوعِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ حُكْمًا. And the example of the marfu' from statement, implicitly. Implicitly. Remember what it means, حُكْمًا? We're moving to the second category. Remember the marfu' that we're talking about had two types, as-sarih wal-hukmi, and each one has al-qawl wal-fi'l wal-taqrir. We finished with the sarih, now we move to al-hukmi. Starting with al-qawl. Starting with al-qawl. The Shaykh, he says, حَفِيدُهُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُخْبِرَ الصَّحَابِ أَلَذِي لَمْ يَأْخُذْ عَنَ الْإِسْرَائِيلِيَاتِ بِمَا لَا مَجَالَ لِلْإِجْتِهَادِ فِيهِ كَالْإِخْبَارِ عَنِ الْأُمُورِ الْمَاضِيَةِ مِنْ بَدِّ الْخَلْقِ وَقَصَصِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أَوْ الْآتِيَةِ كَالْفِتَنِ وَأَحْوَالِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So this marfu' hukman from the statement, from the aspect of the statement, is whenever a companion who did not take from the Isra'iliyat reports, a companion who's not known from studying the books of the children of Israel and taking the narration from the Jews. Because some of the companions, they had knowledge of that affair. Some of the companions, they would sit with the Jews and listen to their reports and the likes like this. And they had knowledge of some of the narrations and the affairs of the Torah and the narrations of the Yahud. So this type of Sahabi, there's several of them, and the people of knowledge, they know them. This one is not included here. A companion who did not take from the Israeliyat. Well, if this type of companion, he reports something not open to personal reason. He reports a narration not open to personal reason. There's no possible way he could use his ijtihad to realize this affair. There's no possible way he could use his own reasoning to come to this understanding. Such as reports of past events, like the beginning of creation, or stories of the prophets, or future events like tribulations and trials, and the conditions of the day of judgment. If there are reports like this, these are from the affairs of the unseen. There's no way to obtain this knowledge except by revelation. Except by revelation. It's a report about past events, events that in the past, the previous nations, or events about stories of the prophets. This has passed. This is from the unseen. There's no way to have knowledge of this affair in detail except through revelation. Except the revelation. Or in the future events. For example, trials and fitnah that will occur. Trials and fitnah that will befall the ummah, so on and so forth. In the future. The information about future events. This is from the unseen. There's no way to know that except by revelation. Or even issues of Jannah and Naam. And events that will occur on the day of resurrection. Or description of the angels. Or affairs about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so on and so forth. These issues here, they're from the affairs of the unseen. There's no way to understand them and know them except by way of revelation. So if there's a companion who narrates a narration that its content is of this affair that we're discussing, and he's not known to be from those who took from Bani Israel and was aware of those narrations that they had, then this narration would be considered marfu'. Not directly, but implicitly. It would take the ruling of marfu', because there's no way that this companion could ever achieve this knowledge except by revelation, and the companions, they don't lie. The companions, كلهم عدول, all of them are reliable and trustworthy at the peak of that. at the peak of adada. That's why you don't call that a companion thiqah, or you don't call it a companion hafiz. Yani he's reliable, he has the best. No, he called him sahabi. Khalas. He has the eyes that saw the eyes. He has the ears that heard the statement. He followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and witnessed that affair. So he has the highest level. From the people with regards to this affair, narration and the likes like this. So if a companion, he narrates a narration like this, then it's considered marfu', not directly, not explicitly, because he didn't ascribe it directly. But is this information here can only come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, it takes the ruling. Wabi, an example of this is what has been collected by al-Hakim and al-Darimi. And other than that, from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. Qala Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, iqra'u surat al-Baqarah fi buyutikum. Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, he said, read surat al-Baqarah in your homes. What kind of hadith is this? قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه اقرأوا سورة البقرة في بيوتكم. ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه he said read سورة البقرة in your homes. What type of hadith is this? What type of khabar is this? موقوف موقوف موقوف. Who's saying this? What's the matin here? The matin, اقرأوا سورة البقرة في بيوتكم. This is the text there, the portion that we have covered so far. Read Surat al-Baqarah in your homes. This is the text. This is the matin. The chain, we only have a portion of it because we summarizing, right? The chain that we have is the portion of the Sahabi. Who is he? Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud. So Ibn Mas'ud, this is his statement. This is his advice. This is his direction. What did he say? Iqra'u Surat al-Baqarah fi buyutikum. Read Surat al-Baqarah in your homes. Then he clarifies. رضي الله عنه, he says, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَدْقُرُ الْبَيْتَ يُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Because indeed, the devil, he does not enter the home that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in. Because the devil does not enter the home that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in. This is the fear of the unseen. Can you see the devil? You cannot see the devil. You cannot see the devil. So, Ibn Mas'ud, where did he get this information from? Radiallahu anhu. He can only get it from the Prophet. This is not something you can freestyle. This is not something you can look and make reason. This is not something that you can see this and this and this, and you can use circumstantial evidences and then say, oh, shaitan will leave the house if you recite Baqarah. There's no way to make ijtihad in this affair. So this is clear from the affairs of the unseen. And Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, is not known from taking from Bani Israel. He's not known from narrating the reports or reading the reports of any that they're called akhbar al-Israeliyya. Al-akhbar al-Israeliyya or al-Israeliyyat. So therefore, this narration, although it's not directly ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is considered ascribed to him by way of ruling. What does that mean? We mentioned in the beginning, what does that mean? Through knowledge and action. Through knowledge. So we believe that this is knowledge that's from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we apply it, believing it, that it's the way of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it's not directly ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is clear. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Who's going to recite Surah Al-Baqarah at home? Huh? Now, this narration has been authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. We have an example of contemporary scholars and the great scholars of our day, like Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, implementing these principles. So in the Silsila al-Sahiha by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, volume number 4, page number 26, the number of the narration is 1521. Sheikh Al-Albani, after authenticating this narration, he mentioned that Yani al-Hakim, he mentioned that this narration has come marfu'an and mawqufan. This narration here has come with a chain that's the chain that leads to the marfu' and one that leads to the mawquf. You understand that? Wadih?
No.
Meaning that this narration has been narrated one time ascribed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another time narrated, it's narrated ascribed to the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So this is the case here. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah says about the mawquf, the one that we're reading. He says, وَهُوَ أَصَّحُ مِنَ الْمَرْفُوعِ. And this one is more authentic than the marfu'. وَلَكِنَّهُ فِي حُكْمِ الرَّفَعِ. But it takes the ruling of the rafa'. So there's a marfu', the same text, this matin here, the same, اِقْرَأُوا سُورَةَ الْبَقْرَةِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَدْخُلُ بَيْتًا يُقْرَأُ فِيهِ بِسُورَةِ الْبَقْرَةِ. You understand, this is the matin. So this matin has come with a chain that's marfu' and one that's mawquf. You understand that? One that's marfu', one that's mawquf. The mawquf is more authentic. It's stronger in authenticity. It's stronger than authenticity and the one that's marfu'. So we're looking for the marfu', but the mawquf is stronger. So Sheikh Al-Albani, he's emphasizing this affair. He said, وَهُوَ أَصَّحُ مِنَ الْمَرْفُوعِ وَهُوَ أَصَّحُ مِنَ الْمَرْفُوعِ The mawquf is more authentic than the marfu'. وَلَكِنَّهُ فِي حُكْمِ الرَّفَعِ But it's taking the same ruling as the rafa'. It's just like, it's the exact same ruling. It's the exact same ruling. He says, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يُقَالُ مِنْ قِبَلِ الرَّأِيِ Because this is something that's not mentioned by way of opinion. You can't talk about this by way of one's opinion or his ijtihad. There's no way he can make an opinion like this. So therefore, this narration is marfu'. This statement here is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? Hukman. Wabe? Hukman takes the ruling, although it's not directly ascribed. We understand? Everybody's with me? Alhamdulillah. Wa mithal al-marfu' min al-fi'li hukman. And the example of the marfu' from the action, implicitly. Yani meaning by way of ruling, not directly ascribed. أن يفعل الصحابي ما لا مجال للاجتهاد فيه كما قال الشافعي في صلاة علي رضي الله عنه في الكسوف في كل ركعة أكثر من ركوعين He said the example of the مرفوع حكما about a deed or an action being performed is whenever a companion does something that is not open to personal reasoning. The companion himself, he does it. So this is now the action of a companion. Before it was a statement of a companion. Now it's an action of a companion. So we learn here, barakallahu fikum, that al-marfu' hukman fi aslihi mawquf. You understand that? It's a mawquf. It's a mawquf, but it takes the ruling of marfu'. Wadih? The first one was a statement of a companion. This one is the action of a companion. But after analyzing and examining the situation, we find that it takes the ruling of marfu'. So although what's apparent is that it's ascribed to a companion, this is something that can only come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it takes the ruling of being marfu', the ruling of being marfu'. So here, whenever a companion does something that is not open to personal reason, such as what al-Shafi'i rahimahullah reported about Ali radiallahu anhu performing more than two bowings in each rak'ah during the eclipse prayer, And this is in his work al-Umm. Talked about Imam Shafi. He spoke about. He's from the first to speak about different affairs of Mustalah Hadith. And books of other and books about other topics, other sciences like Usul al-Fiqh and his book al-Risala and his book al-Umm. From there, this narration here from al-Umm, he's discussing this affair of a narration taking the ruling, the narration that's mawquf taking the ruling of the marfu'. So he mentioned the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu that he led the believers in the eclipse prayer in four ruku' and two rak'ah. You understand that he made four ruku' and two rak'ah, like the way of the eclipse prayer. Of the eclipse prayer. So this is something that he did. And there's no way that he could do that except if he was upon guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand? So this is an action that he did. He led the eclipse prayer in this manner. He prayed two rak'ah with four ruku' in them. Right? Each rak'ah has two ruku'. Wadih? You understand that? And this is what he's saying. He prayed another time a different way also. This is what the Shaykh is referring to. So Ali, he performed more than two bowings in each rak'ah during the eclipse prayer. So where did he learn that from? From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is his action that he did, but that action is not directly ascribed to him because it's not something that you can come up with reasoning. Rather, this is from the action of the Prophet. He learned that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this description of that prayer performed in that manner is taking the ruling of as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it himself. It's clear? It's clear. It's called al-marfu' al-hukmi. Meaning it takes the ruling of the marfu' with regards to the knowledge that you learn from it and the action that you must apply by way of it. We understand that. Al-Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about this in al-Umm. He said, هذا لا يعمل بالرأي. هذا لا يعمل بالرأي وهو في حكم حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه لا يجتهد فيه. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, that this is not based on personal opinion, the way to perform the eclipse prayer. A Sahabi performing the eclipse prayer in this manner. This is not based on personal opinion. It carries the ruling of being a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it is not subject to ijtihad, independent reasoning. So this affair is here. This is going back to the early days. Imam al-Shafi is from the first to discuss this affair. He's from the first to discuss this affair. Imam al-Shafi, Muhammad ibn Idris. Abu Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Idris. Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi, he died in the year 204. 204, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the author, he says, حفظه الله ومثال المرفوع من التقرير حكما ومثال المرفوع من التقرير حكما. And the example of the مرفوع, any the approval, implicitly, any taking the ruling. It's an approval that's taking the ruling of the مرفوع. أن يخبر الصحابي أنهم كانوا يفعلون في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا ولا ينكر عليهم. And this occurs whenever a companion will report that whenever a companion reports that they used to do such and such during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not reject it. Huh? وَلَا يُنْكِرْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And a companion, for example, he was saying, we used to do such and such in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was not reprimanded. They did not receive the reprimand for that. Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not object to that. You understand? So now the companion is doing something. He's doing something in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they're doing something in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in the present. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not being, they're not being objected to. There's no objection to their deed. There's no objection to their deed. So therefore, it takes the ruling of the marfu', of the marfu'. So we see here, yani if قال الصحابي كنا نقول كذا أو نفعل كذا ما حكمه الصحابي if he says that we used to do such and such or we used to say such and such in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's the ruling? The ruling that is marfu'. This is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. But we pay attention. What is the wording of the Shaykh? He says, "أن يخبر الصحابي أنهم كانوا يفعلون في زمن النبي كذا وكذا ولا ينكر عليهم." They will say, a companion, he will say that we used to do such and such in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will not be reprimanded. وَلَا يُنْكَرْ عَلَيْهِمْ. They will not be reprimanded in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for a companion, he said, we used to do such and such. We used to do such and such, we say such and such, without mentioning specifically in the life of the Prophet or the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not taking the same ruling. This is considered مَوْقُول. This is considered مَوْقُول. When does it take the ruling of being مَرْفُوع? Whenever they ascribe it to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is that? In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is called zaman al-tashri'. Zaman al-tashri'. This is the time of legislation. The legislation is being established. The legislation is being established. The halal and the haram are being established. The limits are being set. So if there's something happening among them that's not allowed, revelation will come to clarify that. Because at this time the revelation is descending, and the Quran is still descending on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clarifying the halal and the haram, and that which is lawful and that which is not lawful. So if there is something that's going to be happening that's not lawful in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst them, then it would not be left like this. The Prophet he would be made aware of that, and revelation will come with regards to that to clarify that it's not lawful, so on and so forth. You understand? So therefore, if a companion says that we used to do such and such or say such and such in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's no objection to that, then this takes the ruling of being marfu', marfu' hukm. From what aspect? At-taqrir, approval, from the approval of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We understand that? So if the companion attributes it to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's considered marfu'. If he doesn't attribute it to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it stays mawquf as it is. Yeah. We have examples, inshallah, through the rest of this affair. The hadith, which is collected by Bukhari, from the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. He said, "Kunna idha sa'idna kabbarna, wa idha nazalna sabbahna." Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he says that we used to, sahaba, whenever we ascended, we would say takbir, Allahu Akbar. And whenever we descended, we would say tasbih, subhanallah. It's collected by Bukhari. What is this? Huh? Paying attention, right? It's more cool, right? Because why? We whenever we would go up, we would ascend, go up the mountain or the hills, we would make takbir. Allahu Akbar, we'll say Allahu Akbar. But when we came down, we would say Subhanallah, we make tasbih, Subhanallah. But he didn't ascribe it to the time. So therefore, it's more cool. That's very good. Allahumma barik. MashaAllah, dakeem. Allahu Akbar. We'll save that one. We'll save that one. Ah, ahsanta. The people of knowledge, like Al-Imam Ahmed and Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahumullah, they have a beneficial statement. They say, Al-Hadith, إذا لم تجمع طرقه لم تفهم فقهه. Al-Hadith, if you do not gather its different chains of narration, you will not understand its meanings and rulings. You understand? So one hadith many times has been narrated from a number of individuals, has a number of chains, and the wording sometimes are different, slightly different. Maybe there will be additions that will bring light to the situation. Maybe one time a narrator will narrate the narration and he will just suffice with one aspect of the narration. Another narrator will narrate it and he'll mention the whole story or the reason for the narration. So you'll find the narration sometimes slightly different, although they're the same narration. Sometimes they have additional wordings that bring more light to the situation. You understand that? So by gathering all the narrations of this one hadith, all of the wordings of this one hadith in the different chains, now you'll be able to look at it and have a good picture of the rulings and the benefits that are derived from that narration and the intent of that narration. So if we just look at this one, then what's apparent is that this was not ascribed to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's also been collected by al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullahu ta'ala in one wording, and he said that Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he says, kunna nusafiru ma'a an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fa idha sa'idna kabbarna wa idha habatna sabbahna. That he said, radiyallahu anhu, we used to travel with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we ascended, we would say Allahu Akbar, and whenever we descended, we would say Subhanallah. So therefore, it's clear. This is a hadith that is marfu'. What type of marfu'? Hukman. It's hukman, right? But what type? Taqrir. Taqrir. This is something they used to do when they're on the journey with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not object to that. So therefore, something that's allowed. Therefore, something that's allowed. Whether this is a sunnah. We understand that. Alhamdulillah. Likewise, another narration from the Hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Kunna na'ziru wal Qur'anu yanzil." Kunna na'ziru wal Qur'anu yanzil. زاد إسحاق قال سفيان يعني ابن عيينة لو كان شيئا ينهى عنه لنهانا عنه القرآن. This narration here is متفقون عليه. We have the word of Imam Muslim. So this is the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, we used to practice al-azil. Al-azil, coitus interrupts. And he may like whenever he's having intercourse, before they would ejaculate, they would come out. And they had reasons for this. So he said, we used to practice this sometimes while the Quran was being revealed. Ishaq, one of the narrators, he mentioned Sufyan. He said, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he died in the year 198. He said, if it were something forbidden, the Quran would have been forbidden. If it was something forbidden, the Quran would have forbidden it. You understand that? So the first narration, we used to practice at Azib while the Quran was being revealed. Kunna na'zilu wal Quranu yanzil. Kunna na'zilu wal Quranu yanzil. They used to practice this in the time of the Prophet while the Quran is being revealed. What's the point of him mentioning that while the Quran is being revealed? Because this is his understanding. And he Jabir himself, he's mentioning this to clarify, had it not been allowed, the Quran would have come clarifying that ruling that it's not lawful. You understand? There would have been revelation with regards to that. And this is also the understanding of Sufyan ibn Uyayna. So the first part of the hadith is marfu'. Marfu' taqrir. Hukman. You understand that? The hadith of Jabir. And the second part of the hadith is the statement of Sufyan ibn Uyayna لو كان شيئا ينهى عنه لنهانا عنه القرآن. If it was something to be forbidden, then the Quran would have forbidden us. That for this? Huh? مقطوع. مقطوع. Because Sufyan ibn Uyayn is from أتباع التابعين. أتباع التابعين. He's from the أتباع التابعين. رحمه الله. So we see this. So now we have the statement that's مقطوع, clarifying or emphasizing the meaning of a hadith that's مرفوع, all in one narration. All in one narration. The narrators are clarifying and discussing these affairs even in this narration. You understand? Ishaq is one of the narrators of the narration of Jabir. And so is Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And in one wording, Ishaq is narrated from Sufyan, who narrated to him his position about this, clarifying this, his comment on that narration. You understand? This is all in one hadith in Sahih Muslim. The narration in general is mutafiqun alayhi. So we see here that he says again that if it were something that was forbidden, then the Quran would have forbidden it. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ فِي زَمَنَ التَّشْرِيعِ فَلَوْ كَانَ يَتَعَلَقُ بِهِ حُكْمٌ شَرْعِيٌ لَنَزَّلَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَحْيٌ. You understand that? This is because this occurred during the time of revelation, the time when the legislation is being revealed and established. It's not completed yet in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a legal ruling were related to this, revelation would have been revealed to address it. So this indicates approval by sanids, and thus is considered marfu'un hukmi. Wadih? Or hukman. You understand that? We have another narration, the narration of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum, radiallahu anhumah. What did the Shaykh say about this affair? He said, rahimahullah, that a companion, he will say, we used to do such and such in the time of the Prophet, and we were not reprimanded. We're not object to. We used to do such and such in the time of the Prophet, and he would not reprimand us or object to that. So here we have another statement. And if they used to do, here's one they used to say. All right, the first one that we discussed is an example of they used to do. Also, here's an example of what they used to say. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma anhu qal, kunna nukhayyiru bayna an-nas fi zaman an-nabi. Fi zaman an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فنخير أبا بكر ثم عمر ابن الخطاب ثم عثمان ابن عفان رضي الله عنهم رواه البخاري. So it's narrated from Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. He says that during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we used to prefer in succession, and we used to mention who we believe to be the best of us. We used to mention who we believe to be the best of us. كنا نخير الناس. We used to mention who we believe to be the best of us. So we would prefer. And in order like this, Abu Bakr, then Umar, Ibn Khattab, and then Uthman, radiallahu anhum. Right? So this is something that is approved of. Therefore, this is hadithun marfu', hukman, from the statement of Ibn Umar, that he said in the time of the Prophet, they used to choose and select who's the best from the people. We would say Abu Bakr is the best. And after him, Umar, and after him, Uthman. And they were not objected to that. So therefore, this is something that the Prophet affirmed and approved of. So therefore, it's a sunnah, and it's known that Abu Bakr is the best. And then after him, Umar. And then after him, Uthman, radiallahu anhum. Understand this. And after him, after that, Ali ibn Abi Talib. But if we go to other narrations, there are other narrations likewise indicating this affair. But we just want to understand the example that the Shaykh is mentioning. This is al-hadith, al-marfu' hukman. من التقرير, التقرير, an affirmation or an approval. The Shaykh says, ومن الصيغ ومن الصيغ التي لها حكم الرفع قولهم من السنة كذا ومنها قول التابعي عن الصحابي يرفع الحديث ونحو ذلك. And among the phrases that carry the ruling of being مرفوع is they're saying from the Sunnah is such and such. And whenever a companion, he will say, from the Sunnah is this and that. From the Sunnah is this and that. If a companion says that, then that means that this is a hadith marfu'. He's not saying the Prophet, he said that, or the Prophet, he did that, or the Prophet, he approved of that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he's saying from the Sunnah is such and such. From the Sunnah is to do this. Or from the Sunnah, this time is to say that. If it comes like this, this is another indication that the narration is marfu'. How? Hukman. Marfu', hukman. Also, if a tabi'i, he says when narrating the hadith, يَرْفَعُ الْحَدِيثِ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. And the tabi'i, he will mention the narration from a companion, that a companion, he said this, and he will say yarfa'uhu, or he will say yanmihi, or we say yarwihi. So these terms here, they mean that that the tabi'i, he's ascribing the statement he heard, and he's ascribing the narration to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tabi'i is clarifying that the companion who he heard the narration from ascribed it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companion will not say that. The tabi, he will say instead of that, that the Prophet said this, he will say yarfa'uhu. The sahabi yarfa'uhu. The sahabi, he raised it to the Prophet. The sahabi yarwihi. He narrated, meaning it's going to the sahabi yanmihi. So these are different terms here. Al-riwaya, wal-rafa', wal-inma'. This means that it's marfu'. Inshallah, this we'll take it in our class in the morning in more details with some examples. بإذن الله تعالى هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.